This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. And today I want to consider with you the all-important question, what must I do to be saved? Every person ought to want to be concerned, and vitally so, with this very important question, what must I do to be saved? As a scriptural background for our study, I call your attention to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. In this account, we find the Apostle Paul, along with his companion in preaching, Silas, having been thrown into jail in the city of Philippi and cast into the inner prison, and their feet being made fast in the stocks. And now, beginning with verse 25, we find this account. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the jailer, being roused out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for lights, and sprang in, and trembling for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him, with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. Now, this account is important for a number of reasons. Among those reasons is the fact that here is a man who asked the question plainly and unequivocally, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And we find inspired men giving the answer. The answer they gave was, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. But it isn't sufficient to read only that far. One must read not only verse 31, but he must also read verses 32 through 34. In verse 32, the Bible declares that they, that is Paul and Silas, spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And then they took him the same hour of the night and baptized him. And it was then and not until then that he rejoiced because of the remission of his sins. I know there are many people honestly and sincerely believe that one is saved the very moment he believes. And they hold that this passage, among others, teaches that particular theory. But a total context, a consideration of what the Bible teaches in its totality, will show that this certainly is not the case. Now, it certainly is true that the Bible teaches that we are saved by the grace of God. The grace of God means what God gives to man, not based upon man's merit or what he has earned, but simply by the gracious gift of God. No man can be saved by his own good works, in the sense of having earned his salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, that when you've done all you've been commanded to do, count yourselves as unprofitable servants. We find in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, these very significant words, For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you see, the passage teaches that we are saved by the grace of God. We are not saved by works whereby we earn our salvation, whereby we merit salvation. But everyone who is saved, because of the grace or the gift of God. I hope that you'll be with us next time as we continue to study this all-important topic, What Must I Do to Be Saved?